by my bed, folded hands and tilted head. I thank the Lord for my water and my bread. Thankful to be a part of God's flock of chosen sheep, waking from my slumber while the world is still asleep. Freedom loving, patriotic, deplorable bum. I reside in the States, but Scotland is where I'm from. Sometimes I feel defeated, but we will always stand tall. Fighting with my family, we go one, we go all. We may fall. Our Bibles and talks of bread and wine, indoctrinate our children, throw the world into decline. We the people need to stand firm and understand without liberty and freedom, all we have is dirt and land. Holding the sword high, I'll stand firmly through the pain. What I have lost is what the wisdom I have gained. If you find me on my knees, it's not because I'm defeated. It was my prayer before the war, the only weapon I needed. Never waste the gifts that the Lord has so given. If at the end of my life, a decision you should make, I will be your servant and a warrior whose soul you will take. And we may fall, holding the line. Yeah, we may fall, but we'll be fine. The world will see the global crimes. Oh, the veil will lift in God's due time.
Good evening, family. How's everybody doing today? Enter. There we go, Mary. Got to say hello to you, too. Trying to keep up. Got my lights out again, so I can't see my keyboard. But guys, I'm grateful to be here again. I hope you all had an absolutely beautiful day. It was another great day. I love doing Bended Knee on Fridays. If you guys don't know, I am doing Bended Knee every Friday now. Scott gave it to me, so I can give him a little time. And I just love another excuse to come up with some pretty interesting topics to talk about. And now I get a whole hour to do it since I don't have my music yet. And that saga just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. I call it the moving saga. And I said on the show earlier, guys, if you're ever going to move, do it yourself. Get yourself a nice friend that has a really big truck, a U-Haul, and just do it yourself. Save yourself the headache. It's absolutely not worth it. That being said, Kilted Christian, episode 439, I call this one Prophecy and Fulfillment. Let's get to it.
We are many nations around the world, comprised of many cultures, but we stand together in a battle between good and evil. We're the seekers of wisdom, the bringers of truth, the hands of heaven, and the voices of reason. As the world tries to divide us by our differences, we only grow stronger as we are bound together. as the children of God.
All right. I hope everybody had an absolutely beautiful Friday. We're walking into the weekend. My weekend, I don't know what's going to be going on. I know that I've got something to do tomorrow evening, and I'm hoping very much that we get to do a show on Sunday. Brothers in a Bible. Brother in a Bible. Jeff's still feeling down and just waiting for him to get back, but I also want to get back on some Brothers in the Bible and do some prayer time on Sunday, as we should do Saturday as well. But I am going to be driving over to West Liberty, Kentucky, and picking up our sweet little dog. All right, I'm going to actually bring Livin' in here so she can tell you what we decided to name the dog. And I thank you for all of you that reached out and gave us your suggestions. And some of the suggestions were actually things that we had talked about, because I gave her a big, big list yesterday of all these different Gaelic names and what they meant. And some of the suggestions you guys gave me were Gaelic names for the exact thing that we were talking about. It came down to two, but I'll let you go ahead and tell everybody what we decided to name the pup.
Oh, she's so cute. We decided to name her Spirit.
Naming her Spirit. We wanted to do something.
And you have to say the Gaelic.
No, it's easy. It's Spirit. See, so if you're looking at the word, it's spelled like, it's spelled Spoirad.
But yeah.
But the actual correct Gaelic pronunciation, even though the word doesn't look like it's pronounced Spirit, the actual Gaelic pronunciation is in fact Spirit. So it means Spirit. You know, like I said, just like with my vets, because I do it, all my dogs' names are in Gaelic. I always have to put the spelling of the Gaelic and then, you know, a little phonetical, hey, it's actually pronounced Spirit, you know, next to it, so they understand what it is. The other one that we had that we were going to talk about, another thing, if you look at the word, you're like thinking that it means something completely different. But the other option that we had, because we had like 12 and we came down to the two, was Freedom. And Freedom in Gaelic, is a Saoirse. Is how it's pronounced. When you look at the word, it doesn't look anything like Saoirse, just like most Gaelic. So I suggest, guys, don't learn Gaelic. You're just going to confuse yourself.
Because do that.
Even my last name in Gaelic is Donahue. And if you take the letter CH, depending on what letter falls in front of it or what letter falls behind it, it changes the pronunciation completely. So it's a very difficult language to learn. But like I said, I name all my dogs Gaelic. This one just happens to actually pronounce the same way that, that the word is, which is Spirit, but don't look at the letters because it's just going to confuse you. It's like Stelrad.
Exactly.
People look at, are you going to name your dog
Stelrad? She's basically all white except for her ears and stuff and those spots running down. So her face just looks, you know, she's just so cute and it fits her perfect because she's pretty happy little thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's cute.
And we'll definitely get some pictures and some video up as we get them. So, or get her. She'll be here tomorrow evening, and I'll make sure to get some of those up instantly. And I want to thank Livin for allowing me to go pick her up ahead of time.
Yeah, I had to think about that for about a second now.
Yeah,
I'm sad that I'm not going to be there because she's not going to know who her mom is until another week. So.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a week. And like I said, she's a pup. So she'll have to take that week to get used to the pup first. To our other pup, Solomon, who was right below my feet. And if you guys remember in the last house, Solomon never, ever came into the room. But this house, he's always under my feet. So anyways, I know I jumped the gun and I don't even believe that I've played our intro yet. So I'll be back in a moment. Guys, Kilt a Christian, 439, Prophecy and Fulfillment.
We are many nations around the world, comprised of many cultures, but we stand together in a battle between good and evil. We're the seekers of wisdom, the bringers of truth, the hands of heaven, and the voices of reason. As the world tries to divide us by our differences, we only grow stronger as we are bound together as the children of God.
And a big thank you to Steve Cusick and Crafty for giving me this espresso machine, which has me really hyper right now. Probably shouldn't have drank it so late. Yeah.
Ours.
Ours. I'm the one who's using it right now. So yeah, the espresso that I just drank. But
I do want to say something though. We received a couple of packages. So I know that one was Montana Duke. Thank you so much. We haven't opened it. We're going to open it together. And then somebody else sent us a package, babe.
Yes.
Did it have
Had no name.
Did you say
name? Had no name. No name. It basically was just the address and stuff like that.
Okay, so whoever sent us the package just recently, we received it, and thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. We definitely do appreciate it. And I got you here now in about 7 days. I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to go pick you up from Cincinnati, Ohio, which the airport is actually technically in Kentucky, even though it's the Ohio airport. Who knew? Apparently MSM Liars knew. So that's going to be interesting. I'm pretty excited. So we're going to take a little journey. Mom's going to be there with this and probably the pup. So we're all going to pick you up as a big family. It's going to be awesome. And I'm excited about it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that too. That's going to be fun. And I've never flown alone. So that's going to be even more exciting.
Oh yeah. And I really need to fix this light. It's like jumping on and off. It looks like there's a lightning storm in here, but I just need to change the light bulb. I got too many projects, you know, and I forget that I need to get to this. So I will be getting to that later. So, sweetheart, there is not lightning right here. It's just a bulb.
There's a lot of lightning here. So it's crazy here right now. The bolts are just coming. I can see them shooting across the sky. It's unreal right here right now.
Well, you're lucky that's all it is, because we're going to go into a little bit of news before we get into our topic. And, guys, this place is a mess. Like, first off, this is interesting that we came across today. So if you go to IMDb, there's literally something that talks about the inauguration from 2021, and it's casted by a guy named Arthur Roberts. And so anybody can put stuff on IMDb. You know, it's not much different than WikiLeaks, but they tend to get rid of the lies pretty fast. You know, for instance, when I put up a Duncan McGregor was casted for the role of Yoda, they took that down in a week. So, you know, so it's interesting that this is still up, but it literally has Biden's role as casted by Arthur Roberts. Then you've got, I don't know if this was a mistake or what it was, but Gateway Pundit put this out today. So it was, I think it was MSNBC or somebody talked about former President Joe Biden. There's all kinds of little weird things, either that or nobody knows how to do their job anymore. Is it a mistake? Is it real? Are they trying to like go ahead and hint us to what's going on? I have no idea, but I do find it hilarious too. And I think Trump made a good move here. So Trump is skipping the first GOP debate hosted by Fox News to do an interview with ex-Fox employee Tucker Carlson in the most gangster move ever. And I'm telling you, Trump is the ultimate troll. Tucker's not such a bad troll himself, but this is what's going to happen. Everyone's going to be watching this interview with Trump and Tucker, and no one's going to be watching the debate. So when this is all over, Trump's going to be like, I had more views as one person than those other seven or eight people did in, you know, combined. So brilliant move. Trump, ultimate troll. We'll see where that goes. And then, you know, we got crazy old Biden, well, fake Biden, or whatever you want to call him, is still in office right now, being an idiot and saying stupid things every day. Nobody in Hawaii wants him to go there. Like, they literally said it, like, we don't want you here. You know, nobody wants him there. Remember how excited people were when Trump came in? Everyone was excited when Trump would come in, you know, because he made him feel good. He made him, you know, like, he showed that he actually cared. And these people are like, I just don't want to be there. We're going through a tragedy right now, and I don't want to see that idiot. People are waking up super, super fast. I said on the show earlier how amazing it is that God has his own plans, but he also uses the chaos of the enemies in order to work in his favor as well. I'm running across more and more videos from Democrats that are like, guys, we need to let go of our problem and start unifying to fix this issue that we're having right here in this country. And I agree with that 100%. Now, we'll forgive, but we certainly don't forget, because you guys treated us like poo, literally for the last like 6 years. You guys, they were evil, they were mean. But nobody is meaner right now than DeSantis supporters. Like, this is insane. Like, did they forget that they supported Trump at one point? What did Trump do necessarily to get them to start hating on him so much that they're literally going after Trump supporters? Like, look, do I trust anybody who's running for office? Absolutely not. No, I don't. I have hope, but I don't trust. But I'm not going to go after DeSantis people because they like him better than Trump. Like, they're acting no different than the liberals have been acting for the last 6 or 7 years or longer. Like, this is just stupid, disgusting. We're trying to join ranks here. We're trying to unify. And they have managed another way to divide Patriot movement into pieces as well. So we got to be smarter than this. And I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the other people. They know who they are. The ones that are out there trying to create this division. You know, enough, enough. We need to just let go of all of this earthly fleshy deception and distraction and start coming together and focus, you know, for the one common cause. And that would be saving our world. I think that's a little bit more important than minor disagreements. Exactly. I'm literally DeSantis. Don't get me started. Hey, you live in that state, so I believe you have every right to be more upset than we do. And I don't think many of us would have had an issue with DeSantis if he had just, you know, held off for another couple of years instead of trying to do this. But we know he's paid opposition. And he needs to stop dividing, stop trying to break up this thing. Because, I mean, ultimately, what's the point of the argument anyways? Libin, I want to hear what you got to say about this. What's the point of this argument when ultimately they got to go through the preliminary before they get to the primary or the general, right? So you're going to have one or the other to vote for at some point. And the DeSantis guys are like, oh, you Trumpers are going to end up voting for Biden. No. We're not going to end up voting for anybody. No Biden, no Michelle Obama, no Big Mike, whatever you want to call him, no Hillary Clinton. We're not voting for anybody on the other side. You know, chances are I'm not going to be voting for DeSantis either because we're starting to see his true colors. And then you've got Vivek Ramaswamy or whatever his name is, who says all the greatest things. You know what I'm saying? The guy's not dumb. He sounds like our guy, but then you go back and you look into his past and what do you find? You find connections to dun, 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 Darth Vader, George Soros.
Huh? Oh, yeah. He's connected to George Soros. I think DeSantis is a joke. Yeah. I mean, he's so uncomfortable in his own skin because he's a liar. And so when you're like that and the way that he talks and stuff like that is because he knows that he's being paid off. He knows that he can't beat Trump.
No.
And so, and I'm not voting for him, Biden, Obama, Hillary. They can throw whoever they want in there. And I ain't voting for any of them. If anything, I would vote for Trump. And the only reason I would is because the establishment is going against him so hard to take him down.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason.
That's where I stand.
And that reason has to be huge. I mean, it's just not a reason. It's a freaking huge reason that they're going after him so hard.
Yeah.
Because he knows something that they have done. And I think that they're scared because they know that they're going down. Gitmo would be pretty full.
Oh, now
I think of
them. Exactly. And remember, Trump executive ordered not only to keep Guantanamo open, but to expand it. And here's the deal. I would vote for Trump and then I would go into immediate caution. All right. Because like I said, I'm not going to get pulled into this. I'll be like, all right, I'm voting for Trump. And once the deep state is defeated, I'm going to be like, okay, where are we going now? Like literally instantaneously, because I mean, like I said, it's not the deception, it's the great deception. So what is it going to be? Something just fools people. It's going to be something that really fools people. And I'm willing to vote for an enemy to take down my other enemy because it's a whole lot easier to fight one of these evil organizations rather than two of them at one time. So it's just the smart move. It's a good old chess move. But like I said, I need to see, what is it? Not listen to someone's words, but the fruits that they bear, you know, so Trump's going to have to come in and bear some pretty phenomenal fruits.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at all the candidates there, can you look at DeSantis and say that he's going to get us out of this mess?
Oh, no. Nope.
Can you look at Vic? Do you think he's going to get us out of this mess?
Not one of them. How about Pence?
No, not one of them. Who respected the last presidents that we had? Who respected Trump most? Putin?
Yeah, it's what I'm saying, though. He had everybody just kind of
look what he done. Well, look what he did with everybody. He brought more billions of dollars into our country when Biden's selling us out to every country. And yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't something that I think back like, I don't know about you, Trump, but look what he did for us.
See, you know,
so I'm going back and forth, but I'll tell you what, I'd vote for him.
Yeah, but it's also one of these things too. It's like a drug dealer. The first bag is free. You know what I'm saying? You give them the good stuff. And then everybody's like, ooh, I want more of that. And I'm like, okay, well, this time you got to pay. You know what I'm saying? Like, he may have given us exactly what we wanted. And then, you know what I'm saying? We got a more, like I said, I will get to that when we get there. But all I know right now is that I know Obama's evil. I know Hillary's evil. I know everyone that's connected to him, Biden, all these people, the globalist government and so forth, they're all evil. And I
want to remove them. Well, and then you look at Kennedy, and I mean, Kennedy's got a lot of people that are just totally against him.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. You know, I like some of the stuff that he has to say, don't want to go down that path either.
Yeah, like
but
I said,
it's not just because I would vote for Trump, it doesn't mean that I support everything that he has done and what he didn't do for getting that information out about the VAC.
Exactly. Like right here, it's like I said, it's a cautious optimism. That's
absolutely
where it is. You know what I'm saying? But don't ever let your guard down. Don't turn your back. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I stand on this. But like I said, we will reach that when we get there. I just want to watch these other globalists go down and I'll be like, okay, now what's next? So this, though, however, is interesting. So Laura Logan came out today, which is pretty big, and says, if you're trying to make sense of the claim that Biden is president of the, quote, bankrupt U.S. corporation, I find official government records a good place to start. Papers relating to for relations of the U.S. Transmitted to Congress December 1st, 1873, Office of the Historian. And she gives you a link to kind of go look this up herself. And the reason I find that interesting is we've been talking about this for a long time. You know, the possibility, the theory. Then the lady that was part of the DOD commission came out and said this the other day. Matter of fact, multiple times on interviews. And then now Laura Logan's coming out and kind of verifying this. And this isn't just some guy like us who's like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to link it and suggest that this may be what it, this is Laura Logan. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like she was on 60 Minutes, I think, at one point. Like she's no small potato here in this like media. She's been one that's going down a little, you know, some few rabbit holes. So this is pretty big because eyes are on her. You know, so this is a pretty big deal that she brought this up.
Oh, absolutely. And she, well, and also she has, she's done a lot of work down on the border and she has great respect. That woman has been all over the place. And I think that what she's putting out there is something that somebody should really dig into to see what she's talking about.
Yeah. You know, thank you for that segue. Speaking of the border, that's where I was heading to next. Do you guys remember that? Do you guys remember that we've got a problem at the border? I bet
the border's fine, dude.
When was the last time you heard anything about the border mentioned on the news? I mean, it's like the border doesn't even exist anymore. It was like, yap, 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 yap. Even the GOP, like trying to point out the obvious, and all of a sudden, radio silence. You know?
Well, because they push on to something else.
Yeah, we're on to the next distraction. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get to a couple of those here in a moment. But this is the reason I bring up the border. Texas girl, 11 years old, found raped and murdered under her bed, was killed by a migrant who crossed into El Paso. You know, this hasn't stopped. They're just not talking about it. This is actually Daily US, Daily Mail US, but it never, people don't read anymore. They read articles or headlines. Not many people go into the articles, you know, so they can manipulate all day long, gaslight you in that title. And they're like, oh, look at this. And then they don't actually read the article. And then most people just watch mainstream media news, which doesn't talk about any of this. All it is big, huge gaslighting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because they don't want that information to go out that the people that are coming over the borders are actually attacking the citizens of the United States. And I mean, it's some of the stuff that I'm finding is pretty scary. And like Truth said, I don't know if Truth is in here. Women in parking lots, oh gosh, be careful. It's getting worse. My daughter was followed the other day. So you have to be vigilant about parking lots. Any parking lots, don't go shopping at night, not unless you have your husband, your boyfriend, your son.
Or a boomstick.
Or you are,
Or a boomstick.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's getting pretty bad. And especially in these cities that there's like overflow with, migrants and stuff like that. Really be careful in those cities. So just a heads up, Truth's wife, something, happened. Good thing he was with her. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly.
So any young girls, you have teenage daughters or even teenage boys, don't let them wander around. Just make sure that you're keeping an eye on them or you are tracking them.
Yeah. The situational awareness. Always be aware of your surrounding. Exactly. Ron is best to carry. Texas Deplorable, 1911. I'm even going to go back to one of Matt and Hez's comments, lightsaber. I knew it was a different context. He mentioned it with Baron, but hey, if you don't have a lightsaber, 1911, probably the best next.
Bear spray,
anything. Anything's better than nothing.
To protect you should be on your keychain, should be on your kids' keychains. It's going to get worse, and especially what we're going to be heading into. So please just be vigilant with your children, and even if you're a woman and you have a baby, especially because you're focused on getting your baby in the car. You're not really looking around the cars and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, or as Punky would carry a flamethrower. That works too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would work. I'd have a flamethrower on me too. I'd burn them.
I know, what did you say? But you guys wish.
I'm not afraid to attack anybody in a parking lot.
I know. You know?
Sorry. You could, if someone, even if I was walking and I seen some creeper creeping on somebody else, and it was a girl, I would actually get involved. I just like that. So just make sure you're. It's so scary these times that we live in and stuff like that. You know. It's just a scary time. So
it is, you know, so we ought to do a show at some point because, you know, someone brings up a good point. Let me go back. I think it was Tammy. Yeah. Tammy says, yes, those $100 bills on cars too. There's like multiple things that they're doing right now to get you to either hop out of your car or keep you out of your car a little bit longer.
When you put your hand on your hand, when you go to grab your handle, make sure there's nothing on it.
Yeah.
If you have a tie down on your car, don't touch it. Get in your car. If you have money on your windshield, don't touch it. Leave it there. Get in your car. Or don't get in your car. Go back in and call the cops.
Yeah.
Also, look underneath your car, too, because they'll put like something like money, like a dollar bill rolled up in like a piece of paper. Don't reach down and grab it.
No. And you guys remember my trip down to the border. I was with the guy that was kind of being my security. And the cartel actually sent someone to my hotel to try to get me back to a coyote den. I was like, you know, I basically held my arms up like I was yawning just to show them that I had a 9 on one side and a 9 on the other.
Well, see, that's a good example because if you think of it, how tall are you, babe? 6'1", 6 foot?
6 foot.
Yeah, he's 6 foot. So even somebody came out to lure him into some kind of a trap. I don't think it matters if you're a man or a woman, a child or whatever. If they want to do something to you, they're going to find ways to do it.
Yeah, and my security guy was a big boy. And he ended up reaching on to the handle of his car. And there was something on the handle of his car, and he got sick. He got so sick that he ended up having to leave. And he had to go back home. A couple of days we couldn't even leave the hotel. He was so sick. And once he started feeling a little bit better, he decided to go back. So I was like, okay, well, it's just as good because I separated myself and ended up going to Eagle Pass, like right down the road. So to separate myself from about 30 minutes away so that nobody could know where my location was. But yeah, they came after me. And like I said, my security guy was huge. So the women that are out there by yourselves, men, don't let your women go out by themselves. Definitely. Your daughters, your wives, your mothers, just like I said, go with them, especially at nighttime. So next, guys, evacuation order by the city of Kelowna. Probably mispronounced that. I'm not even going to try anymore. So Hawaii is just under attack right now. More fires, but it doesn't end there. There's fires. I saw evacuation orders going on up in Washington. And then right before the show, y'all know how much I love Montana. Watching her burn incredibly, it's heartbreaking. So now Montana, there's fires everywhere. Hibiscus sent me a picture chart of all the fires around the world, and they are everywhere. Not to mention, I went last night to do my daily hurricane watch. So you've got Hillary, which is about to nail California. That's kind of ironic. Then you've got, there were three more out in the Pacific last night. So four total. Two of them dissipated. Two of them still exist. And then you go over to the East Coast, and there's one that's got a 40% chance of forming in the Gulf. You've got another 40% chance of forming out in the Atlantic. And then you've got two that are 80% chances of development. All like so, it was a total of eight last night. So today there's only a total of six, but they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere. This has been a really quiet season.
That's not normal.
No, really quiet season. And then out of nowhere, hurricanes everywhere, earthquakes popping up all over the place. You've got fires all over this world. So where are we right now? What are we dealing with? We're dealing with the birthing pains. That's, you know, we're watching it happen right in front of us. And then I'm going to go back here, which is, you know, because they're rubbing it in our faces. Levin sent this one to me earlier, which was the new Mountain Dew can. All right. So it is called, it's not even letting me want to go there right now. So it's called Pitch Black, Mountain Dew Pitch Black. Okay. So first off, at the very top of it, it's got what looks like a little satellite spaceship kind of thing with the hands doing the devil horns within it, next to a moon. And then at the bottom, it's called Pitch Black, which is what dark smoke makes. Well, it gets better than that, Ron. Check this out. What is Mountain Dew? DEW, direct energy weapon. So they are literally rubbing it in our faces right now. And that can has all kinds of symbolism on it. Like I said, they're just rubbing it in our faces. And this literally just got released. You know, so now food exposed questioning. Everything might be a good idea. Check all the food that you're eating, that you're purchasing, that you're buying. Biden is trying to strong arm Mexico right now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to strong arm Mexico into buying that whatever GMO corn. And they're holding the line right now going, no, we're worried about the health of our people, unlike you over here in America who want to kill your people. So like now not only are they pushing it on us, removing our farms, burning them down, making it unaffordable for the farmers to do their work, you know, so that we have no choice but to go to them. Now they're trying to push it on other countries by basically threatening them just like they did with some of those African countries. Saying that, hey guys, if you don't jump on the LGBTQ board, we're gonna, you know, start removing some of the money we're giving you, sanction you or whatever. You know, fortunately, some of these countries have integrity. You're like, I don't care. Do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like our relationship with God's a little bit more important than how much money we're making. You know, and they probably also know that they're gonna be joining BRICS at some point. And they're gonna be A-okay while our dollar is gonna be $50. For one BRICS coin. I don't know what the currency actually is going to be for BRICS, but it's not going to be fair. And what we're paying right now for gas, what we're paying right now, because remember, they depleted, they've sold off all of our oil. We got way more, trust me, guys. We're nowhere close to being out of it. They just don't want to. They want to rely on other countries. So we're paying more, getting it from them, getting our food from them. Everything is about to spike. So you think the prices of the things right now are high? Oh, just wait. Just wait until that economy goes. Like I said, everybody's going to turn in their bonds all at one time. Everything is going to go downhill from there. Then we've got, you know, somebody asked Alexa, when is World War III going to be? And Alexa was basically saying that China was going to invade America in the spring of 2024. The whole wildfire, Ukraine, everything is basically the setup for the Gog and Magog preparing for a war. Matt and Hev, it's coming. It's coming. This is just getting insane more every day. But I'm going to go back to what Steve Cusick said earlier. Fear not. There's no reason to fear. God's got us. Worst case scenario, we go home. And that sounds like a pretty good thing to me. Then we've got this one little video. And it doesn't go well for audio, so I'm just going to explain it to you. So there was a lady that was on her deathbed. So instead of taking her to the hospital, they took her to a church, and all the people there started praying for her. And this woman was like literally immobile. It was just horrible looking. And then all of a sudden, as everybody laid their hands on her and started praying, her eyes opened. And then once she recognized what was going on, she get this big smile on her face and then was literally on her feet. Like how many minutes you think it was? Like 2 minutes?
It was, Yeah, it was crazy that she's laying there with her eyes closed, and she was near death. And I would say 2 to 3 minutes, she started coming to, and boy, after 5 minutes, she was like up, sitting up.
Yeah, it was
just unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty impressive. And like I said, we've seen our versions of that without the hands-on. I mean, I did hands-on healing for the little one, Olivia, the other day, but all the prayers that you guys put out for Olivia, she's back on her feet. She was laughing. She's eating. She's drinking. Like, she is on the mend. And like I said, if you guys could have seen what I saw, like, I prayed and I knew that she was going to be okay. I told the family she was going to be okay, but I can't say that down in my heart, I was still a little bit worried, because I know what the family was going through and I know what the family was seeing. And man, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't trust myself right now saying this little girl's going to be okay. But I trust Jesus and God enough to know that when they tell me she's going to be okay, I'm just going to pass that on to the family. You know, like I said, if they had asked me, hey, Joseph, what's your opinion? I would have been like, this girl's not going to make it. I mean, that's how bad she looked. But God knows way better than I do, and he told me she was going to be okay. So thank you guys for all the prayer. I just think this is amazing and just another great example of the miracles when we all come together in prayer, how we can change this world through God and through Christ. Apparently, a Huntington Beach pier is now closed due to an oil spill. I don't see any oil, but apparently it's closed. So what's the real reason it's closed? I don't know, but I bet it's something nefarious. Then we've got, this is really interesting. So there was some video footage of the United States Army, it looked like, camouflage, literally tags on their uniforms. And there was a patch, you know, in the Velcro area of the uniform. There was a patch of Donald Trump's head silhouette on all of their uniforms. Pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting, because we all know that the military doesn't play games when it comes to like a shoe being untied, or, you know, your shirt partially untucked. You'll get smacked in the head by the drill sergeant or your commander or your leading officer. Like, they don't play games like that. So the fact that these people are literally wearing a Trump silhouette patch on the side of their arm is pretty interesting. So I'm looking further into this to see what it is, because, you know, there is the possibility these guys weren't Army, that they were just people going to rescue. But like I said, they're all wearing camouflage. They're all wearing the same uniforms that literally specifies U.S. Army on the actual chest pad. Everything is where it's supposed to be, except that patch on their arm just looks really off. And like I said, it's literally a silhouette of Trump's head. So looking more into that, and I will keep you guys updated with what I find on this. So pretty cool. Next, a woman's car dealership issued 1,037 dealer tags, but sold no vehicles, the records show. They used them for human smuggling. They used them to hide the identity of the car, which is very easy to do. And we've seen car chases and stuff like that where it had dealer's plates on it. Matter of fact, when I was coming back from Yuba City Bards Festival, we were in Arizona, and we saw a car fly by us with dealer plates. And then, like, literally 40 seconds later, we see, like, a bunch of police cars flying by us, too. They were chasing. Obviously, we're chasing that guy, but he had dealer plates. So we more than likely saw what this is speaking of. So that's how you hide the identity of the cars, because there's no, you know what I'm saying? It's just generic dealer plates. So, like I said, 1,037 dealer tags with zero cars sold. That's not.
She should be.
What's that?
Wasn't it a woman that issued them?
Yeah, it was a woman that owned the car dealership.
Yeah, she should be in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
For trafficking.
Oh, absolutely should
be. Anybody that does that should be in jail for trafficking.
Yeah, 100%.
And should be closed down. But see, we live in a backwards world, so that ain't going to happen.
Well, this one was arrested. So
Yeah, good. She was.
But she probably got arrested because they couldn't, like, you know, go anywhere around it and spin the story. You know, also we had a IRS agent shoots IRS agent on accident in a gun rage in Phoenix. So, I mean, we all knew these guys didn't need guns in their hands whatsoever. How do you accidentally shoot somebody at a gun range? You know, everyone's shooting the same direction, you know, so they have no business owning guns. And then you've got, now there are four FBI murders. I'm just going to call them what they are. They're murders. straight up murders. Four FBI agents have killed civilians in early morning raids in four different states in 2 weeks. This isn't an accident. I bet you they're all Trump supporters. They're all like patriots. They're just wiping out. So I got this interesting video right here. This is a small local newspaper raided by law enforcement in Kansas. But it gets interesting. So why and who raided them? The people that they were doing the investigation on.
I saw this absolutely egregious Fourth Amendment violation today in Kansas. I wondered why more people aren't covering this. Last week, local law enforcement officers in Marion, Kansas, raided the offices of a small local newspaper, the Marion County Record. Did they do anything wrong? No, of course not. So why did they get raided? Well, like, snippety dip. Turns out the newspaper was investigating sexual misconduct allegations made against the new chief of police, Gideon Cody. Weird. So because a journalism outlet was doing journalisming, they were raided and had their computers and cell phones and hard drives all confiscated. They even had their homes raided, too. Oh, and the vice mayor got wrapped up and was also raided. What were the charges cited on the warrant? Oh, good question. It was identity theft and unlawful acts concerning computers related to a DUI investigation that the paper was doing on a local restaurant owner. Right. Sure. Almost anyone could sniff out that garbage. Now, obviously, the police chief, Cody, defended the raid, but Eric Meyer, the paper's co-owner, is going to the mat with these folks. And you know what? Good for him. He should. And now he's fighting back. Guess what? Today, law enforcement withdrew their search warrant and released all the seized materials back to the newspaper's attorney. Huh. They also have a forensics expert on hand to evaluate how much was looked at. But here's the rub. Their rights were violated. Sure, they got the material back, but after what? Getting a lawyer involved? Threatening a lawsuit? Also, there are extra protections for the press. Specifically, there. What information has already been seen? Sources? That's protected. Private information? What about other stories they might be working on? You see, the damage is already done. These materials have been in the hands of law enforcement since Friday. The same law enforcement that got the bogus warrant in the first place. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation is looking into it, but again, this is government looking into other government, so I'm certainly not holding my breath, especially considering this. Even more evidence that there was some cattywampus afoot.
We finally were able to obtain the probable cause affidavit that was supposed to support the search warrant. It was filed 3 days after the searches were conducted, which is a little suspicious.
So 3 days after? No way. Everybody who touched this should go to jail.
Agreed. Man, this world is so backwards. And these guys were literally being investigated for child stuff. And then the same people being investigated were the cops went and got a bogus warrant 3 days after they actually got the material they needed. They've already seen the witnesses, the people that came forward to talk to this investigation. So basically got their hands on everything that they wanted to and then hand it back. And I love that, Jehu, snippety dip. That's going to be my new word. Whenever I'm going to curse, I'm going to be like, oh, snippety dip. But this is insane. I mean, this is the world that we're living in right now. They say two-tier justice system. It's not even a two-tier justice system. It's just straight up corrupt. And then the judge, that gave him this warrant 3 days later, corrupt too. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, judges shouldn't have the right just to go willy-nilly handing out these warrants. They need to be warranted. You know, mm-hmm. This is insane. And, you know, don't think for a second that if we got in any trouble, they wouldn't pull this same crap. You just got to know our laws and then hold the guns, like stand by and not let this stuff happen. But what happens when you do that? I resort back to the last thing that I said. Four FBI agents have shot four different people in early morning raids in four different states. That's what happens to you when you hold out and you know your rights. They just shoot you. They're like, all right, yep. No court. Dead man can't talk.
Absolutely. That's what they did to that one man.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to go out and be offensive, but I'll tell you right now, you come to my house, I'm going to take some of you out before you take me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not talking the Dairy Queen.
Come to our house. You know that thing that, what is that on, with Mel Gibson? You know how the stuff comes out of the ground and it's all those spikes of wood and they're all sharpened at the end?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they come up. That's going to be our house.
Yeah, like literally. But then you got to be careful about that too, because I've actually read the laws on like setting booby traps, and there's laws. There's laws.
I'm just thinking. I'm thinking out loud. I'm not saying we're going to booby trap our yard, you know.
Exactly. Like Little Red says, hello, let me introduce you to Jesus.
I like the booby traps, but too. Yeah.
So, you know, we're still going on with the stuff in Lahaina, all kinds of just, you know, the news just isn't bringing anything out. People are all huddled up in one area. They're making crazy bills. We're like, oh, we'll give you a little bit of money. But in that same bill, we're about to give Ukraine a lot of money. Like, how much more can they spit in the face of the people? And you know what? I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm upset that this happened. I'm sad at the loss of lives. But man, people are waking up quick. I said this to Hibiscus earlier. Look, we're at a point now with the deep state thinking that all of this chaos they're creating is going to be a distraction, it's going to be in their favor. Oh no, all it's doing is waking people up in mass, because they're realizing that we're all hated. We're equally hated. Doesn't matter what party you are. Doesn't matter who you're voting for. Doesn't matter what color you are. They hate us all equally, because we are the scum on the bottom of their shoe. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the way they look at it. So we need to stand up. There's only so many of them. Even worldwide, man, you're looking at maybe, I'm just going to go over and say we're probably like maybe 30,000 evil people in this world that are pulling all this stuff. And I think I'm way high on that number. You know how many people there are in the world? Enough to squash them. Matter of fact, take 30 million from just one country. It's enough to ruin these people and take them down if we get the courage to do so. And we need to. And, Zelensky, at some point, they're gonna turn on him. See, that's the thing. I've said this before, is that good people will support good people, and we will die for people that are in trouble. That's what good people do. They'd be willing to take the bullet so someone else doesn't have to. Now, the evil people, they will throw you under the bus before they even go to prison. You know, so all these evil people, that's the reason they have all this blackmail on one another, so that they can, you know, threaten to release us and stuff. But there's a point where it doesn't matter. And we're coming close to the point where these people will not be able to walk the streets. And for those of you listening, CIA, FBI, three-letter agencies, I'm not making a threat. I'm not threatening anybody with harm, death, or anything. I'm just stating an absolute fact. There's a point where people are going to wake up. They're going to see what's going on. They're going to get so pissed when they're starving, when they can't feed their family, when they can't put food over, on their family's table, when they can't put a roof over their family's head, where they're going to come for your head. Pitchforks, torches. This is where we're heading right now. There's a point where Biden, Adam Schiff, Kamala Harris, Pence, Barr, all these idiots that are pulling this stuff right now aren't going to be able to walk the road anymore without people literally going after them and dragging them across the street. And like I said, I'm not making a threat. I'm just stating a fact. There is a point where even your greatest people do questionable things in order to save and defend their own. It's coming. Next, we'll get into our topic here in a moment. Just go over a couple more things on the news. So I'm going to play this little clip for you real quick.
The press release came out today. FEMA and the FCC announced that on Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, they will test nationwide wireless emergency alerts and the emergency alert system. Let's talk about what that means. On Wednesday, October 4th, with a backup date of Wednesday, October 11th, just in case there's a widespread severe weather event happening on the 4th, FEMA will first, at 2:18 p.m. Eastern Time, send a national level alert to the entire United States over wireless emergency alerts. This is like your phone going off for like a tornado warning or flash flood or amber alert. However, it is going to use the national alert class, which is the one you can't turn off. It used to be called a presidential alert, but there were some reasons that the nomenclature was changed around that to better clarify that the president as an individual does not like have willy-nilly access to this. But at 2:18 p.m. on October 4th or October 11th, everyone's phone will go off and then say this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. 2 minutes later, at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time on October 4th, FEMA will drop an NPT, or National Periodic Test event, into the IPAWS CAP feed, which will, since all EAS participants are required to monitor the IPAWS CAP feed, will cause them to immediately retransmit this alert. The last test in 2021 focused on the over-the-air daisy chain aspect of the emergency alert system. And so that one was initiated only by the 77 primary entry point stations and relied totally on the over-the-air dissemination. This one is going to be different. It is going to be a message that shows up in the CAP feed, and whenever a station's INDEC pulls that CAP feed, which it does several times a minute, downloads that message, it will immediately interrupt programming and start transmitting. So just like I did in 2021, I plan on capturing and listening to several stations around here at the same time, just so I have another kind of update on how that behaves. Our EAS monitoring assignments have recently changed, so it will be a different set of stations that I have this time around. But it will be interesting to see how fast everyone reacts to the message coming across the CAP feed. On top of that, you know, there are some preparations that we will have to do here. I'll be sure to keep you posted on what we do to make sure everything still runs smoothly. And of course, there's going to be some paperwork that is due after the test happens. ETRS Form 2 will be due on October 5th. So that is like the day of tests. Like, how did it go? Like just kind of a matter of fact, what happened thing. And then, form 3 will have about a month to fill that out, which is kind of a more in-depth survey of what happened. Did anything go wrong? Anything like that? So, I'll just kind of keep you posted on how that happens. But the most important news is it's happening, 2 months from tomorrow. So it does satisfy
Okay. Yeah. So I got to agree with this does happen every year. I just haven't heard it. Don't answer your phones. And Mary said exactly what I was thinking. The Kingsman comes to mind. If you guys haven't seen The Kingsman, they're all sitting in a church. A frequency comes to the phone, and then everyone just literally freaks out and then starts killing one another. Robin, recovering RN, brings up this, another one. Have anyone seen the movie called Cell? That movie is the same exact thing. The phone goes off and then everyone becomes like instant zombies. So Faraday bag. Guys, if you can get Faraday bags for rather inexpensive off of eBay or Amazon or anything like that, but you can make your own as well. So there's a reason that they call us tinfoil hat wearers, is because you wrap enough tinfoil around an electric object, it's not going to receive anything. Deplorable says aluminum trash can. So what I've done before is I've gotten a metal trash can, lined it with aluminum foil all the way in, put a piece of cardboard going on the bottom, the top, and all the way around, and then lined it with another couple of layers of tin foil, and then you put the lid in. So in order to test this, once you're done, you can make a box, you can do anything like that, but use lots of tin foil. Cookie tins work. Put your phone inside of it and get someone else to call it. If your phone doesn't ring, your phone doesn't ding from a text, it's working. That's how you do it. And I know this is all like crazy stuff that we're even talking about, but we also know that movies are really good at telling you what's going on. You guys remember even The Simpsons. The Simpsons are the best at it. Oh, they're so good at this. And there was an episode where Bart, if you guys remember, was, quote, being watched by the Major League Baseball. Where he was wearing the tinfoil hat because they were trying to read his mind. This stuff's not so far out there. But if you guys haven't seen The Kingsman, that's a great example, like I said, of just frequency changing. And you got to remember, they've just vaccinated all kinds of people with God knows what, nanobots, black goo, I don't know. But nonetheless, nothing surprises me anymore. Scott last night and I had a little quick conversation and he made the comment, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, aliens could come to this earth right now and we'd just be like, eh, aliens. And then he made a comment and he said, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we heard tomorrow that Bush and Ronald Reagan were having sex with little kids. You know, he made that comment. And then today came across an article that literally said that exact same thing. So nothing shocks me anymore. But I'm not afraid of anything, and nor should any of you. Fear not. There's a reason that God mentioned that so many times in Scripture. There's absolutely no point in being afraid. Reagan was a little disappointed, exactly. You know, because I know that the bad part of administration was actually run by Bush, because he went downhill. They gave him Alzheimer's, I'm assuming. He was basically just eating jelly beans in the White House, and all the stuff that was being done by Bush. So Bush actually had two presidencies, or old Bush did, actually had two presidencies. And that pretty much covers it for our media tonight, for the most part. Like I said, guys, keep your eyes out for fires. They're all over the place. Keep your eyes out for rogue FBI agents that want to shoot you at 6 o'clock in the morning. Keep your eyes out for IRS agents that have no idea how to use a gun. Keep your eyes out for Warren Buffett, who predicts the next pandemic is going to be worse than the COVID pandemic. Keep your eyes out for Elon Musk, who pretends to be like he's on our side, but he's absolutely not, who's about to take away the block feature on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days. Guys, who wants to be harassed by the same idiots that have been relentlessly harassing you for a long time? So they're removing that option. Just keep your eyes open on everything. Keep your eyes open for indoctrinating teachers who are trying to teach your kids that they're the opposite sex than they actually are. Or nannies. Like, this is the world that we live in. So I would suggest following Punky's lead, teaching your kids at home, you know, get the mom to take care of the kids as their babies and don't hand them off to nannies because you don't know who you're handing them to. Child daycare centers, same exact thing. Just got to be very careful at this point. We need to start becoming self-reliant. We need to start taking care of our own family, taking care of our friends and so forth, because the world just wants to kill you and then ultimately control you. And we're not going to let that happen. There's only one person that has that control. And I'm about to move over to that right now in tonight's topic. So tonight's topic, I actually called it prophecy and fulfillment. And, you know, there's a lot of examples of prophecy and fulfillment in the Scripture, but I'm actually going to go over something specific, and it's 55 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ. And I think this is pretty awesome because these prophecies and the fulfillment, you know, the prophecies came before Christ even entered the Bible, the New Testament. It's all Old Testament stuff. So it's a pretty interesting topic always to me. So some scholars believe that there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. Like I said, some are vague because they don't call him Jesus. They call him the Son of Man, Son of God. They have all the different names for them. But 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. These prophecies are specific enough that the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling even a handful of them, let alone all of them, is staggeringly improbable, if not impossible. But we're dealing with God and Christ here. So you got to remove the improbable and the impossible because everything with them is probable and possible. So there was a Peter Stoner, who is a chairman of the Departments of the Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena, California, was pretty passionate about biblical prophecies. So with 600 students from a thing that they had done, Stoner looked at 8 specific prophecies about Jesus. They came up with extremely conservative probabilities for each one being fulfilled, and then considered the likelihood of Jesus fulfilling all 8 of these prophecies. The conclusion of this research was staggering. The prospect that anyone would satisfy those 8 prophecies was just 1 in 10 when they started this. And Science Speaks, he described it like this. My screen's jumping around on me again. Let us try to visualize his chance. If you mark 1 of the 10 tickets and you place all those tickets into a hat and thoroughly stir them and then ask a blindfolded man to draw one, his chance of getting the right ticket is 1 in 10. Suppose that we take 10 silver dollars and we lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all of the state 2 feet deep. Now mark one of those silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state. A blindfolded man, and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that this is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing these eight prophecies and having them all come true of any one man from their day to the present time, providing that they wrote using their own wisdom. But the thing is we're not dealing with man. We're not dealing with numbers and probability. We're dealing with prophecy, with God, you know what I'm saying? With people that are inspired by God. And as far as prophecy goes, there are prophets. And there's one catchy thing about, you know, prophets. A lot of people claim to be prophets, but here's the deal. A prophet can never be wrong. Not one time. If you're wrong, then you're not a prophet. If you say something that wasn't inspired by God, you're not a prophet. Now, it does say in scripture that there would come a day where we would be able to prophesy, sons, daughters, sisters, daughters. We would all be able to prophesy, but that's not prophecy. That's not claiming that you know something that's going to happen to the world as much as God giving you a little bit of insight as to what you need to focus on. So 55 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. We put together 55 prophecies that cover four specific areas. So you got Jesus's birth, Jesus' ministry, Jesus's death and resurrection, and Jesus's role within the church, which are all prophesized, things that were prophesized in the Old Testament. So we've ordered the prophecies based on their Old Testament book order. For each one are included a verse showing a fulfillment in the New Testament. It's the people that did this research has hope that it strengthened as you pursue these prophecies about Jesus, which it absolutely does. So prophecies of Jesus's birth. Not only was Christ's miraculous birth prophecy revealed, but God planned his lineage from the very beginning. Here are eight prophecies predicting the elements of Jesus' birth of childhood. So I ask you a question before I get into this. Did Jesus exist before his birth at the manger? So if you guys remember, there was a Brothers in a Bible that we did years ago, and Matt and Hev says yes, and the answer is yes. Jesus was the one that spoke life into existence. You know, we didn't see him in the flesh at that point. We didn't see him in the flesh until after he was born in the manger. But Christ has been around since the beginning, was the one that spoke earth into existence, creation into existence. Remember, Christ wasn't just some man. We call him the Son of God. We call him the Son of Man. But he was God walking right around on this earth, experiencing life as a human to see what we go through directly as from a human perspective, which makes it even more valuable of the sacrifice. So the nations will be blessed through Abraham's lineage. Now, the prophecy was, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that's Genesis 12:3. So the fulfillment of that prophecy. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all the peoples of this earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And that's Acts 3:25-26. So once first one, prophecy, and then the fulfillment. The second one is God's covenant with Isaac's ancestors. So the prophecy was, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him and the everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Once again, first book in the Bible, Genesis 17:19, and the fulfillment. His descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And that's Romans 9:7. The third of those, the next one, is the nations will be blessed through Jacob's offspring. So the prophecy is your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That's Genesis 28:14. And the fulfillment comes as Jacob is part of Jesus's genealogy. the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nohar. This is Luke 3:34. So, you know, we just right here, we're just at the very beginning of the book, but you've got already three prophecies that came in the Old Testament that have once have been the fulfillment came in the New Testament. So number four is the scepter will come through Judah. The prophecy is that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he who it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Genesis 49:10, and the fulfillment of that prophecy comes as Judah is part of Jesus' genealogy, the sons of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, and the son of Perez, the son of Judah. And this is Luke 3:33. So David's offspring will have an eternal kingdom. The prophecy is when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That is 2 Samuel 7:12 through 13. And the fulfillment comes with this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. So I'm loving, like I said, I didn't even think about this until I started digging into Daniel, which we'll be coming here in a little bit, where Daniel was prophesizing the son of the man appearing in the clouds, and you run into this multiple times into the New Testament, and then again once you get into Revelation. So all of these things have been tied in. They were all prophesied. They were all gifted the ability to prophesy. Like Daniel's, you know, Daniel's always going to be one of my favorites, especially in the Old Testament, because of what he went through, because of his true faith, and the fact that he lived in what I deem the land of his affliction, like a land that didn't belong to him. He wasn't in his own land. He was literally in a land of evil. And, you know, God puts us in these places sometimes, and rather than whining about it and suffering, you know, we endure through these things, just like David did when he got thrown into the thing of lions, had enough faith to God to where he was going to be okay and get through this. And what happened as he endured his trials and his tribulations sitting in the lion's den, he ended up changing the heart of a pagan who ended up finally admitting that God was the way through a couple of other things that Daniel had done, but it was all through the prophecy that God had handed him. And like I said, that's one important thing that we have to remember, and I'll repeat this again, is that there's a lot of people that claim to be prophets, but prophets are never wrong. Not one time. They are never going to mislead you. They're never going to accidentally say something that's wrong, because the moment that happens, they're no longer a prophet. You know, so we got a lot of people, especially today, claiming to be the new age prophets or whatever. And a lot of that stuff just goes awry, and it just proves that they're not. But there's still people that hang on to them as prophets. And there's a lot. I question every one of them, as you well should, too. There's a lot of people that like Kim Clement. There's a lot of people that are very cautious about Kim Clement, as we should always be. I will listen. You know what I'm saying? I'll be interested in what they have to say, but I don't ever, like I said, I don't trust man. And I think we're all kind of in that same boat. So the next one is a virgin will give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So the prophecy, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That can be found in Isaiah 7:14. So what is the fulfillment? The fulfillment of this prophecy is the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That is Luke 1:35. And once again, that prophecy certainly came. That ended up being one of the greatest prophecies ever, in my opinion, because if that prophecy didn't unfold, we'd have no chance. We'd end up in hell straight up. We'd have no chance for heaven, no chance of salvation. Once again, these things were prophesied in the Old Testament. And I love stuff like this because I've had conversations with people that have tried to convince me that the New Testament is deep state propaganda there to deceive us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to listen. You want to hold on to the old covenant, the old laws. Well, we need to follow the old laws. Jesus didn't say, I'm here, stop following the old laws. he came here and said, okay, I recognize you guys are all sinners. You guys are being deceived from every turn, every corner that you go through. I'm giving you a chance for salvation and give it the opportunity to admit your sinners to me, repent, mend your armor, and I'm giving you that chance of salvation. But you got people that are trying to, you know, that'll try to convince you the opposite, that Jesus wasn't real, that this was all fabricated by the powers that be, the Canaanites or whatever, that are trying to ruin us. And that by following Jesus, you're actually following the false Messiah. Okay. Well, we all know that's not real. And then, and you know, it's hard to have these conversations with people to convince them. But there's enough in the Old Testament that falls right in line with the New Testament in the fact that it proves that what they were talking about then is what we're seeing right now. The Messiah will end up, excuse me. So I got to read the fulfillment of that, of the virgin. As the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come unto you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One is born, will be called the Son of God. And that's Luke 1:35. And I just read that, but it's just important. Like I said, it's one of the most important prophecies that ever unfolded. The number seven is the Messiah will end up in Egypt. So the prophecy is, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. That's Hosea 11:1, and the fulfillment is, so he, Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son, Matthew 2:14-15. You know, that was one thing too, is I always like wonder, you know, just, did they know who they were giving birth to? I mean, obviously she was a virgin. She knew that that was kind of part of the prophecy. But they knew that at that point that every kid was being threatened with death. They had soldiers, Romans, going all over the place, killing anybody that was under the age of 2 years old, because Herod was afraid that his gig was going to be up and he was going to be taken over by the new king, which was ultimately the King of Kings. They just knew ahead of time, and they ended up getting out to a little safer place. Obviously, Jesus lived to be in his 30s, and he ended up dying on the cross like God had intended and escaped that death. But how many kids died in the process of them hunting for Christ? You know what I'm saying? That's just insane to go back and think about. And it's no different today with the children being killed, sacrificed, and so forth. The evil in this world still exists. We still have people that are trying to gain control, no different than Herod and many others like him. So the next one is, Christ will be born in Bethlehem. So the prophecy from the Old Testament was, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times. It's Micah 5:2. And then the fulfillment of that is, when he had called together all of his people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem and Judah. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. This is Matthew 2:4-6. You know, I know I've told you guys recently that I started watching Chosen, and I don't know why I was so reluctant to. There is, you know, it's a great show, but I've actually kind of gone in and seen a couple things in the show that I'm like, oh, I don't remember reading about that. So, you know, me, I just don't watch something and enjoy it. I got to go look it up, you know, and say, hey, I got to find it. And there's a couple, there is a lot of what I call creative license, like things that weren't necessarily in scripture. You know, one of them is in Chosen, Peter had a wife. And I know they talk about Peter's mother-in-law, so we knew he had a wife, but I couldn't find anywhere in scripture where they actually mentioned his wife. And in the movie, she kind of has or in the show, she kind of has an integral role and a name, you know, which I couldn't find in scripture as well. So there is, you know, be cautious with the show. It's very entertaining. I love watching something that makes me feel good about Jesus anyways, but like I said, there are some historical inaccuracies and things that are not within scripture necessarily. But like overall, it does point out some pretty awesome things. So one of them, you know, prophecy about Jesus' ministry. So this is going to be the next one. It was God's plan that Jesus would have profound ministry during the times on earth. This collection of prophecy focuses on the particularly specific elements of Christ's earthly ministry. So the first one, dealing with the prophecy in the Old Testament, Christ's ministry will destroy the devil's work. So the prophecy is, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That is all the way back once again, Genesis 3:15. And the fulfillment of that is the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And this is 1 John 3:8. And we're seeing examples of that. Now, okay, does the devil look like he's getting away with stuff? Yeah. But are we aware of it? Yeah, we are definitely aware of it. And right here, I'm going to repeat this again, like I said, 1 John 3:8. The one who does what is sinful of the devil, because the devil has been sinning since the beginning, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. How do you destroy the devil's work? First off, you got to enlighten the people. They've got to wake up, have that faith in God and Jesus, and we've already won that battle. You know, the key is now the people that are awake have to go through and find our battle even further by helping other people wake up and find the same thing that we did. The devil's power is people worshiping and doing what he bids, falling for his deception. He loses his power immediately the moment that you recognize it. You know, it's kind of how I've always looked at magic. For any of you guys that have studied paganism or anything whatsoever, is that magic is more useful and more effective when you're not aware it's being used on you. But the moment you become aware that a spell's been put on you or that someone's doing something, it doesn't have the power that it once had because you are now aware of it and you can A, fight it away. Like I said, is it removes that, because just like MK Ultra, what happens when they're doing MK Ultra? When you're unaware of what's going on, you're basically a zombie doing what you're being programmed to do. But the moment you become aware of it, it's no longer effective because you are aware of what's going on. Therefore, you put forward what you need to in order to bypass it. So it's the same thing with the devil. The devil's tricks are no good once you become aware to his tricks, especially when you've got that faith in God. And our job right now is to help other people find that. First, we've got to break the devil's hold on him, the spell that's been put on him. It's literally a spell. You know, the spell of video games, looking down at your phone all day long, staring at a computer. Like I said, God wanted us. He asked us to look up. And what does the devil have us doing? Literally looking down at absolutely everything. So you want to say something?
No, about looking down. You're always looking down. You're looking down on your phone, like you said. You're not looking up.
No, exactly.
Really sad. Video games, the same thing. That's just...
And that's the surface aspects of it. That's not even, you know, the music and the visual effects that are putting you into a trance. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, yeah, it's insane. That's just the surface aspect of just getting your body distracted, not paying attention to what they need to. Hopefully, if you're looking down at your phone, you're looking down at the Blue Bible app or something. You know what I'm saying? Read some scripture. next one is Jesus will have a sinless, blemish-free life and ministry. In The Chosen, there was one little great scene where a guy who had a hobble, hurt leg, like I said, he moved very slowly, had some kind of a disability, was carrying a lamb with them in order for that to sacrifice. Well, they're like, we can't sacrifice that lamb. That lamb's not perfect, you know, because it had a little sore in its leg. But as we learn, there's only one perfect lamb on this earth, and it certainly wasn't the sheep or the lamb or the ram that anybody was carrying in to be sacrificed. The ultimate lamb, the one that was blemish free, the one that ultimately got the ultimate sacrifice, was Jesus, the only pure lamb on this entire earth. So the prophecy is the animals you choose must be year old males without defect. And you make them from the sheep or the goats. This is Exodus 12:5. What was the fulfillment? How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from the acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. This is Hebrews 9:14, the Lamb of God. And we're going to see we're going to see him again, but we're not going to see him again as the lamb, not until we get to heaven. We're not going to see the one that will sacrifice. We're going to see the lion. We're going to see the one who comes down probably pretty pissed off at what he's watching down here. I mean, I look at it like this, and I know Jesus is a whole lot more patient and calm than we are, but I feel like right now, because Jesus doesn't know the time, he's probably looking over down from heaven like a dog on a leash. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like Michael, like I pictured Michael the day that Satan went up to heaven wanting to mess with humans, you know, where God gave him permission to go after Job, you know, the one that he knew would not fall for the devil's tricks, you know, the one with the true faith, the one with the trials and tribulation, but still held that faith. I just looked at Michael being like a dog on a leash, just like, man, oh, you're lucky God's right behind me right now, man. I would pull this sword out and just remove your head. But instead, he's like, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? No one in his head, he's like, oh, you just wait, man. And, you know, at some point here in the future, me and Jesus are going to come down and we are going to ruin you. We're going to cast you into hell for another 1,000 years into the pit of flames. Like, that must have been a tough one. From a human perspective, I would have felt like a dog on a leash, man, having to look at my enemy in the eyes, knowing that I could end this right now. But it wasn't God's will. God needed it to go down a different way. So the next one is the Messiah will be humbled in order to serve mankind. So prophecy in the Old Testament was, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with the glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. And that is Psalms 8, 5, 6, 5 through 6. And the fulfillment of that, it is not the angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and you put everything under their feet. And putting everything under them, God left nothing that is subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. That's Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. And if you guys listened to my bended knee earlier, I talked about angels and how angels are higher than us for the moment. But there would come that moment when Jesus came down to this earth where we were actually higher than them. And even Jesus was put down lower than for that moment as he walked on this earth. But Jesus was always higher because he was God incarnate walking this earth so that we had that chance of salvation. And I love this right here. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Next one is Jesus would become the perfect sacrifice. So the old prophecy was sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And you can find that in Psalms 46 through 8. Now, the fulfillment of that prophecy in the New Testament is, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to you to do your will, my God. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they made offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that is Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. And then I think I've got time for what, one more? Yeah, we've got time for one more. And this is Jesus would preach righteousness to Israel. Now, prophecy. I proclaimed your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. And that's Psalms 49. The fulfillment of this in the New Testament is from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this is Matthew 4:17. So we've got right here, I have taken 30 minutes or a little bit longer to go over just 14 of these prophecies that translate from Old Testament that have proven to be in the New Testament. And I've got 55 of these total. You know, so this may be, I'm going to have to carry on with this conversation at another time, because like I said, there's a lot of prophecy and a lot of fulfillment. So those two books go hand in hand. I haven't even gotten to Daniel yet. You know what I'm saying? And Daniel literally talked about the Son of Man in the cloud. Matter of fact, you know, and I always suggest this, guys, if you take some time, if you get an extra couple moments, go back and read the book of Daniel and then go straight over to Revelation and read Revelation. Like those two like mimic each other in such phenomenal ways. I know my lights go out on and out. I'm raising my hands to God and the lights go out. But those two mimic each other in phenomenal ways. And like I said, that is the great example of the Old Testament and the New Testament like coincide, like proof that what they were talking about in the Old Testament is taking place right now. Proof that they were talking about Jesus before Jesus was even born physically. But like I asked you guys at the very, very beginning of this, was Jesus around before the manger? And the answer is absolute 100% yes. Because who spoke life into creation? Lord Almighty, who was the Son of God as he came here to this earth. So like I said, we will get more into this at another point. Before I go into prayer, just going to reminder is I'm hoping to get to do a show on Sunday. Depending if the movers get here, I told you guys that that saga never ends. My beautiful woman, I had to release the Kraken. So I called my fiance and was like, babe, I'm not getting anywhere with these idiots here trying to figure out where my stuff is. Will you figure it out? Because they never make phone calls back. So the Kraken was released and got something done because they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to send your stuff out tomorrow. And they called me today. They said I'm going to be there within the next 2 to 3 days. So they called me today and they're like, it'll be there in 7 days. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, so now we've gone over that month. I'm still waiting for half my stuff to get here. I'm still the kiltless Christian. Driving me insane. So there's a chance that stuff can come in on Sunday. If my stuff comes in on Sunday, I will not be able to do the show. Chances are it's not going to come in Sunday, so I will certainly do a show at a regular Brothers in the Bible time, which used to be 7 o'clock Central. It'll now be 8 o'clock Eastern. I've got to get used to this time change. That's why I always seem to miss the podcast when it comes on Fridays now, because my whole that whole hour throws me off. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, man, I'm an hour off. So I have to go back and listen to them later on. But I'm going to get back on my schedule, guys, and I will be there live for your shows. But once again, there won't be a show tomorrow because we're going with my mother to go pick up a puppy, and we're not going to be able to meet them until tomorrow evening. So guys, got to get that done. And then next Saturday, that's right, next Saturday, I'm driving to the airport to pick up my fiance. So instead of looking at her beautiful face right here on Zoom, she will be sitting right next to me. And hopefully I can get that pink chair sitting right here next to me as well. So we'll be operating from the same microphone with zero lag. And I'm excited about that.
Oh yeah. We're totally, I'm so excited to be here. Our new journey. Yes.
Yep. And if you guys don't like the bubbly lovey stuff, it's not going to stop. Sorry. It's just going to be more. So once we get married, we're sitting next to each other. But I promise no like kissy noises or anything like that on the, on the show. I will do you that favor, but I can't help but say sweet things. You know, just like I'll say sweet things to all of you, how much I love you guys and appreciate all that you do, all that you bring here, the conversation that goes on the chat. Like I said, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful family. So guys, go ahead and bow your heads, please. We'll get into a little spiritual warfare and prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another day. Thank you for leading me to the shows that we do. Dear Lord, there's so much in Scripture, and there's so much I'm still learning. I think even the greatest people that understand Scripture more than anything still have something to learn every single day. It's a complicated book, dear Lord, but the message isn't complicated. And that is to love, to cherish that life that you have given us, to appreciate the sacrifice that you made for us so that we had that chance in salvation. To spread that gospel, things that we do. When things happen in beauty, we see the beauty in our life, we want to share it with everybody. And that's the great thing, dear Lord. closer we get to you, the better our relationship, the more faith we have. We want to share that with others. So you ask us to spread the gospel. Well, loving you and knowing you, it's the easiest thing in the world. We want to share that with other people. So dear Lord, let us hone our skills like I ask every night. Let us continue our missions, learn our missions if we don't know yet. Let us learn how to listen to you. Let us have more discernment, more wisdom every single day, dear Lord, so that we can take the knowledge of this earth and use it in wise ways. Dear Lord, let us learn to appreciate and thank you every day for all that you have given us. Let us love the ones that we love, the family, our friends, but let us love our enemies too, dear Lord, which is sometimes the hard things. Let us pray for them every single night. They need prayer more than anybody. Dear Lord, we know that your son Jesus certainly wasn't hanging out in the churches. He didn't need to be there. He was hanging out with the sinners, the prostitutes, the thieves, the people that needed what he gave. And dear Lord, we need to do the same thing. We need to hang out with the evil, the tyrannical, those that are lost, so that we can have that hope that they change their lives too. And it's not through us, Father. We're just serving your mission. It's always through you. Every great thing that we achieve in this world isn't because of us, it's because of you. And we need to take that moment to thank you for it. Dear Lord, when something good happens, we don't need to just shrug it off and be like, oh, how awesome is that? We need to immediately thank you for allowing it to happen. Dear Lord, it seems oftentimes that we're always willing to curse your name when something goes wrong, but are they there to thank you when something goes right? Dear Lord, we need to be that person. We need to always thank you. Even on those days we have a little bit of doubt, we just ask that you put that angel into our life, or you put someone in our family into our lives, dear Lord, so that we can get past that doubt. Because the closer we get to you, the more targets we become to the devil, and the more he's going to try to push that doubt into our lives, dear Lord. So I ask, just like in the Lord's Prayer, Heavenly Father, please remove temptation and evil from our lives. Take it away from us, dear Lord, so we don't have to deal with it. Make it easier and easier every single day, dear Lord. Allow us to repent for our sins every day, dear Lord, and say, sorry, Father, I am a sinner, and this is what I've done wrong, so that you can mend our armor, as we're going to need that armor strong as we go into this battle. Not a crack in it, dear Lord, as the devil will take advantage of that and work his way right into a crack as water does to the hole of a roof. Dear Lord, let us always be prepared for what's coming. Let us do everything that we can with love, but also let us be willing to have that righteous indignation, that righteous anger, dear Lord, so that we may flip tables when the time is near, so that we may throw rocks when Goliath tries to take over and tries to hurt our family. Dear Lord, we aren't meant to offend. We are meant to defend. So let us be ready to build those walls to protect our families, but let us also be willing to tear down those walls that obstruct us, dear Lord, that of the evil that's trying to keep us out there. We got to remove everything. We need to stand up, and we need to be the great soldiers. We need to build our army bigger and bigger every single day, dear Lord. So let us not harm them in order to destroy their army, but to weaken their army by letting those people find who you are. Introduce them to you. Let them find you in their heart. Let them accept you into their heart. Repent for their sins. So we can pull them over here, dear Lord, not only making their army weaker, but making our army stronger. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for saving me, saving all of us. At one time in our lives, dear Lord, we didn't know you. My lady and I had this conversation earlier. You know, we were into some things that we shouldn't have been into. We didn't understand. But dear Lord, you never gave up on us, not one time. You brought us to where we are right here today, doing a show, glorifying you, praying every day, our family growing bigger, bigger, and bigger because you had patience with us. Dear Lord, I ask that you give us the same patience with our enemies, with others, dear Lord, that you had with us. Dear Lord, many times in Scripture, we've seen people that have hearts have been changed because of something that you've done, putting the right person into their lives. Well, dear Lord, I ask that you let us, you use us so that we are the right person in someone's life, so that we can make that change, so that one day they don't look at the golden cow, they look at you, the one true God, the one true Lord who came here to this earth and was willing to die so that we had that chance of salvation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything that you blessed us with, big and small. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I almost got us out of here on time, 2 minutes late.
we try.
Exactly. Hey, but at least the thank yous are going to be a little bit shorter because it's just you and me. We miss our Conley. Conley had to take his dad out, so he did not make it this evening, but we always appreciate when he is here.
Outside peeing.
Yeah, exactly. He's outside typing. But Livin, I love you. I thank you. Can't wait to see you. Like I said, one more week, we'll be doing this show together. Obviously, we'll not be doing it that Saturday because we'll be there picking you up. But our first show live together will be that next Sunday, which is going to be awesome because it'll be, I don't know, I want to say brothers in the Bible. It'll be a fiance and fiance in a Bible. Hopefully by then it'll be a husband and wife in a Bible. We'll have to see how that goes and we can get this taken care of. And I really want my kilt. So Heavenly Father, please get my kilt here. Not that I need it, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's part of the tradition. You know, I just want to marry you in a kilt. Or in particular kilt.
Because I have my kilt.
Yeah, exactly. In a particular kilt. Because this right here is the kilt of the old clergy. It's the ancient clergy kilt. The oldest kilt made that the holy people that serve Christ wore. And I think this is awesome. So all of you, I want to thank you for everything that you do. I absolutely love you. The conversations you bring are great. I learn so much from you. And I am thankful more and more every single day that you're in my lives. We're going to need each other. We're war buddies. We're washing the blood of Christ. We're going into this great battle. And we're all going to be smiling. No fear. Boy, just imagine that battleground. All of us with big smiles, laughing with each other. The devil's like, why aren't you scared? And we're like, because we got Christ right here by us. What do we have to fear? You guys are the ones that they'd be shaking in your hooves, boots, and your horns or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've got something to worry about. But I love you all very, very much. And I thank you so much for joining us every night, especially this evening for Kilted Christian, episode 439, Prophecy and Fulfillment, which we will get back into. I will see you all on Sunday, hopefully. Check our Telegram. We will let you know. I love you very, very much. And I leave you with this.
Friends and family, don't ever forget that when the devil and our enemies find us on our knees, assuming that we've been defeated, that we're actually in prayer, which is the greatest sword in our armory. And the real war is just about to begin. I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of The Kilted Christian, which is the second show in the Bards block of Bards Nation Network. Don't forget to go watch Fishers of Men tonight and every night at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And just like in old radio fashion, we sign out with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
have an absolutely beautiful evening. Thank you for watching Kilted Christian, episode 439, Prophecy and Fulfillment. Make sure you head on over to Bards FM, Fishers of Men tonight with a bit of love, a little bit of prayer, and a whole lot of unities. We're going to need each other more and more as we get to these chaotic times. Once again, we know how this book ends, and that's God wins. So fear not, stress not, let go of the anxiety, hold the line, spread that gospel, keep in prayer. We're going to get through this with each other and through God. Guys, I love you very, very much. We will see you Sunday evening. Have a beautiful night. And God bless.